Welcome to Ignite Your Light, a podcast to help you navigate life's adversity, follow your curiosity, and stay true to yourself. Life can feel pretty confusing for everyone. I've harnessed my network of empowering individuals to help inspire you to create a life that feels authentic and on purpose. I interview healers, creatives, entrepreneurs, and girl bosses who are living their truth and inspiring others to do so too. I'm your host, Riley Webster, and I'm so happy that you're here with me today. So today I sat down with Jenny, who works under the umbrella of Jen River. She is a women's work facilitator, and I've been really drawn to her through Instagram, actually. She posts some really authentic, raw, and vulnerable posts in a way that I feel like I've gotten to know her just through following her and listening to her journey. So today we spoke about expressing all of our layers. She has a few different jobs she does, and she really nurtures her creativity in all different ways. And I think it's a really important reminder for us that there's often not one path to follow to find your purpose and fulfillment. And sometimes there are many paths we can take. So without further ado, here is Jenny. Thank you so much for being on the Ignite Your Light podcast. It is so nice to have you here and that we've connected.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yay. So tell me a little bit about you and the work that you do as a women's work facilitator.
All right. Well, my business is under the umbrella of Jen River, but I go by Jenny, so you can just call me Jenny. And so basically, I'm a facilitator who creates gatherings and sacred ceremonies for women who are seeking a deeper connection with themselves, with sisterhood, and with spirit. And then kind of through these experiences, I essentially invite women into a container of deeply present exploration and connection and healing. And hopefully, I can kind of help them along their way, their journey of self-awareness, of self-discovery, of acceptance, and ultimately self-love. And then I also, telling you a bit about me, I also work part of the time with kids as a caregiver, as a portrait photographer, and then I curate vintage.
Oh, that is amazing. I love the variety. Oh, it's awesome. So do you feel like having that variety, because you have a lot of hands in different pockets with that, do you feel like that variety keeps you inspired and kind of engaged in life, or how does that fuel you?
Well, honestly, like, I used to give myself such a hard time for being the Jane of all trades, but the master of none. Like, that was kind of what I, like, boxed myself in as. I was like, oh, I'm kind of good at everything, but I'm not a master at anything. And I think a lot of us do this because it's so drilled into us at a young age to pick one thing and follow that one dream. And I was always just kind of, I always had all the things going on, and I always felt really self-conscious about it. But as I've gotten older, I've been able to see my creative diversity as more of a strength, and kind of having it allowing it allows me to live outside of the proverbial box instead of trying to kind of seek soul purpose, financial stability, like just basic happiness and fulfillment with just one career choice. And I've found a way to like alchemize them to create a life that at this point feels really aligned for me.
That's amazing. I really resonate with that too. And I think that's something, yeah, that is a narrative I feel like that plays out from a young age. You know, we're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if you don't know, it's like, oh God, like figure it out. Absolutely. Or if you choose one direction and then go into another, people are like, whoa, she's flaky. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
But it's actually like, it's so cool because, and I mean, that's why I've been drawn to you, because I see the diverse work you do, and to me that makes someone really interesting. And maybe that's just because it resonates with me, because I'm similar in that sense. I have a lot of different things going on in my life, but for a lot of us, I think it's something that is so special and unique and allows us to express different layers.
Yeah, I feel it's funny because I feel like it's just not spoken about as much, and people feel really isolated a lot of the time when they don't really know the one thing and they don't maybe have that one thing. I feel like it kind of gives this air of irresponsibility or like a lack of, I don't know, a lack of focus, or I don't know. I feel like most of us actually are like this and we just don't talk about it. Or just don't like allow ourselves the space to breathe in those different avenues.
Totally. And also, I think too, we're also dealing with a scarcity mindset in a lot of ways in when it comes to creating our own career and creating our own life. It's a lot like, I'm asked all the time, well, how do you make money? Or how do you support yourself by like doing this and doing that? And what people don't realize is anything is possible. And when you really embody your truth, you attract people to you basically effortlessly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, how do you work with people in the healing and wellness space? So, you put on ceremonies and retreats. Do you also work with people one-on-one?
Yeah, so I do one-on-one work. I don't talk about it as much because I do it more with people that I already work with at my retreats and my gatherings. And then I have had people reach out to me just completely randomly, and that will be a client as well, but I don't really do that as much. At its essence, I guess like I'd mentioned, I create and facilitate gatherings and sacred ceremonies for women. And I guess so the containers that I create can take the form of like a soul-fueled weekend retreat. I've got a couple of those. I've done like dreamy long table dinners with like lots of wine. We've
Amazing.
done, yeah, like unique kind of immersive workshops in the city, or my bi-monthly intimate kind of women's circle. So that's just in general kind of what I'm offering. I just basically all I want, no matter what, like the physical space may change, but one of the thing that is absolutely certain is that when women gather, magic happens. It's just like totally inevitable. And I try to create containers where women can gather together and like create this really magical experience, like co-create it with me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And how did you get into this type of work?
Well, this one is like a funny. This is a bit of a. This will be one of. I told you I sometimes go on rants. This is probably going to be one of those.
Rant away, rant
Rant
away.
away. So I was living overseas in Australia in 2016, and I went like deep into my self work. Like I called it my lotus year. I faced all of my shit. I grew through the. Am I allowed to swear on this
Oh
podcast?
yeah.
I
Yeah.
apologize.
Go girl.
Okay, I swear a lot. I faced like guys. I faced like all my stuff, all the demons. I really grew through the mud, like that lotus, like grew through the mud, that darkness, and then I popped up on the surface and like bloomed. Sounds really easy, but it was hard fucking work. And I had met a woman in my backyard in Australia. She was
Amazing.
kind of hard. That's a long story, but she was in my backyard and I was in my backyard and we met. And she was actually ending up being a person that was staying at the Airbnb room in our house. But anyways, and she later became my coach and she assisted me through this like incredible transformation. It was so intense, but it gave me so much clarity around how I could be of service to women in my community and beyond. And then basically, I tell people to do this all the time. If people are like, what is my thing? I'm like, just look at every job you've ever had and try to see the common thread. So I began to do that and I kind of saw the common thread of connection. So connecting people with themselves, connecting with people, and then connecting people to other people. I was always that friend that was like, oh, so and so, you need to meet so and so and create something. And so I'm not even kidding. It just like dropped in from spirit, like host women's retreats. And I had a dream about my business name and the name of my offering. And then basically soon after I got home, I began working with a couple I knew quite well from my neighborhood, who were facilitating some really, really out of the box experiential leadership development programs. And being around them and learning from them was just like invaluable. And it really made me recognize that the personal development industry was where my soul felt like the most alive. So between the dream, the dream and the coach and like this job and all the things, like, it kind of just dropped in that women's retreats was where I was going to start. And then, yeah.
Amazing. And where did the Jen River name come from? Was that, like, just an idea?
A dream.
Amazing.
Yeah, literally a dream. I've never been called Jen in my whole life, except by, like, really random people, like certain friends in my, like, childhood, or like a family member will call me Jen, but it's really unusual. I've always been Jenny. So it was funny that Jen River was the name that, like, dropped in, because I'm still Jenny all the way through and through, but I don't know, it just came to me. And same with Ra. Ra was the name of my first retreat. And that also just came to me in a dream. I don't know if it was the same dream, but maybe.
Crazy.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Dreams are, I mean, I dream every single night. And, like, some of my dreams are so out of the box. And other times, especially if I'm in a really good writing flow, and I'm writing a book right now. Right now, it's feeling very dry. But for a couple months.
Oh, just casually writing a book. No problem. You're amazing.
I am, but right now it's drying up. But anyways, when I was feeling really inspired with it, I was dreaming about, like, sentences, like, every night. And I'd wake up and I would just, like, free flow, put all the sentences on the page. And as I was writing, I was like, where the hell is this coming from?
Yeah, but I mean, you know where it's coming from.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We are basically the faucet. Like, we're not the water. Like, spirit is downloading through us all the time. We are just, like, a vessel for that. And when you can get into that flow state, that's so fucking cool. Like, people seek that music. Like, I have so many friends in the creative fields, like musicians and artists. And, like, what you just described is, like, literally the dream, no pun intended. But
yeah,
like, the dream to be able to, like, seriously channel that kind of stuff. Like, that's so cool.
For sure. Yeah, no, it is cool for sure. And I think just being really grateful for when that comes up, and then not always seeking that out, because that's kind of a special moment, you know. And I think a lot of creatives and entrepreneurs get frustrated when they're in a space that they're not inspired. And sometimes the work is actually in not doing the work. And
the good old
back,
writer's block.
Yeah.
I know all about that.
Yeah, you're a beautiful writer, though. On your Instagram page, you have some really nice poems and writings. Yeah. Thanks.
I've been writing since I was pretty much as early as grade, I don't even know. As early as you start writing is when I started writing.
Amazing.
I'm assuming you probably are the same.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So how has holding space, do you feel, for others impacted your own healing and your own expansion?
You know, the first time I actually ever really thought about that, somebody asked me this, like, a couple of years ago, and I've actually had, like, some of my biggest personal breakthroughs at these circles or retreats or workshops. Like, we are on this journey together, and I'm not a master, and I remind the women that come to my gatherings all the time that I am just as much, like, dancing and sometimes, like, clumsily flailing around on this journey home to self as the next person. And I learned so much from witnessing other women step into their power and their vulnerability and their truth and their divinity. Like, we are just all mirrors for one another's experiences. And it's so important to remember that, for me anyways, that, like, I can be an influential, oh my gosh, that's such a hard word to say all of a sudden, an influential teacher. Like, I can be an influential teacher and a strong leader and still the humble student. Like,
yes,
always the humble student. So that's been, like, my biggest kind of takeaway, is that I'm in service. I am not a master. So I'm learning just as much and growing just as much through these experiences as the women that I facilitate.
Absolutely. And still keeping that beginner's mind, I think, is really important.
Like, 28 years old, man. Like,
I've
totally got a lot of life to live.
For
let's be honest.
For sure. So for people who are starting out working in the wellness space as a facilitator, as a teacher, what tips do you have to help them?
So a couple of things, I guess. So my first thing, like, that immediately pops into head is get a mentor. Like, I was lucky enough to work with a woman named Chloe Gaugeret, who I met through my cousin who had taken one of her courses. And she's absolutely next level incredible. Like, she basically taught me the fundamentals of design for experiences like retreats and workshops. And I worked with her for, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, a couple summers ago. And I like to imagine that what I learned from her is kind of the skeleton and the bones, and then the flesh and the heartbeat came after, like through my own kind of, you know, jazzing it up. But that would probably be my first suggestion, would be to get a mentor. And also a mentor is, I would say, someone that's really experienced, like not someone that's been doing this for like a couple of years, but somebody that's been doing this for like well over a decade. It's just my, and like, I mean, whenever I have the opportunity to learn from elders, I do, like, that's invaluable. But the other thing I would probably say would be learn as much about yourself as you possibly can, and do as like, and just do the work before getting into this place. Because one of the keys of facilitating, in my opinion, is to be completely empty of yourself. So when you're holding space, you're not, it's not about you. It's, you're empty of yourself so that you can facilitate transformation in other people. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way to really be empty of yourself is if you know yourself well enough. I think a lot of the time, not to say the work is ever done, but I think that there's a lot of work that needs to be done before jumping into an embodiment role.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So that's totally my own opinion. And like I said, the work never ends. So it's not like you can just do all the work and then become a teacher. But I feel like when you're teaching, you're really embodying what you have already learned. Does that make sense? You probably,
yeah. No, absolutely. That reminds me. So a couple of years ago, I got back from India and I'd done my Reiki training there, and I started practicing when I got home, and I was in a really ungrounded place in myself. I was not feeling like myself, and I started giving treatments, and I would be so ungrounded afterwards, mm-hmm. because you're dealing with energy, and I'm a very I'm very energetic person and very sensitive.
Yeah.
So afterwards I would have like insomnia, my hands would be shaking, my whole body would be like vibrating.
Wow.
But I had so much pressure on myself to like be like step into this role immediately, totally. When it wasn't really like I was in tune. It was more like, oh, I've done this training, I have to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, being able to hold space when you're in that really grounded place, and you won't always be in that place, but if you can tune in and try to get there as much as you can, I think that's a really good step for people who are stepping into that role.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It's really like when we gain those tools, we just want to use them right away, but we forget that like having a tool, like say like having a planing tool for wood, like it just because you have the tool doesn't mean you have the skills to use it. And I think those skills really come from that ability to like be rid of yourself in those moments where you're working with a client. And it's like transference is really sacred. It's an ethical responsibility to be in this role of teacher, healer, being in service, you know, like a facilitator role. Like it's a really big responsibility. So
totally, it's huge. And if you don't feel like it's a responsibility, I think that's also another flag that you just need to check in with yourself too.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, just making sure that that you're really, yeah, like you said, feeling really grounded, and grounding yourself before a session, blessing yourself, blessing your clients even before they even get there, and just being in like a total, just like basically you are the extension of spirit in that moment, or whatever you see that as, like, you know what I mean? Whatever higher power you see yourself working under.
Totally. So what do you do to help keep yourself grounded, especially when you have different avenues going on career-wise? It's easy to feel scattered. I sometimes feel that way. So how do you keep yourself grounded to be able to fully offer yourself in the best way possible?
I like that question.
it's kind of a tough one, eh?
Yeah, you know, because I feel like people always have these kind of like prescribed, like, I don't know, I find that's a common theme is like how to be grounded. It's like, well, you know, and it's like how to be mindful. It's like, what morning rituals do you have that every day? And generally speaking, like, my everyday looks completely different. Like the way I ground before a session, whether it's a retreat or a circle or a workshop or a one-on-one session, like looks completely different. And I think it's just more like the mindfulness of it. And to me, mindfulness is self-awareness. It's like the embodiment of the present, and it's that freedom and that grace. So it's being able to like check in, to drop in and ask yourself, like, what do I need in this moment right now? Like, I've got a client coming over. I'm feeling a little like, woo, like, you know,
yeah,
not too much of a latte. Like, I'm like, yeah, what do I need in this moment right now? And it's like recognizing when you're everywhere but here and doing what you need to arrive. So that could be like, I love to journal. I love dancing. I love to just do some like breathing, even if it's just like, and just like releasing that tension. If I remember, like, oh, I haven't breathed today. You know those times where you're like, you all of a sudden you're like, when's the last time I took a breath? Like right now, actually, I'm like, I haven't breathed to my like bottom of my lungs for about 45 minutes.
Totally.
Same thing, like cooking, fresh air, like going for a little walk, meditating, just resting. The list goes on, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just like to be flexible and allow my personal practice to change and grow and evolve like I do. So
yeah, I think that's so important too.
Yeah. Grounding to me looks different all the time. I love to boogie though. Like I love to just throw on some tunes and just like shake it out, because my emotions are, I mean, all of our emotions live in our body. But for me particularly, I'm a very physical, like if I'm feeling frustrated, I feel it in my body. So I just kind of have to like move around.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Totally. No, I feel that. That's great. That's great tips. So finally, I'm going to ask you a question I ask all my guests. And it is, what is your advice for listeners to ignite their light, meaning create the life of their dreams or follow their passion to step into their fullest expression of self?
I just love that. That's great. Well, kind of like I said before, like get to know yourself. Like you can't do any of the things if you don't know who you are now. But I don't know, it would be so great to just offer some like formula or recipe, like some how to live your best life things, which I always do have those suggestions, how to live your best life. But in my opinion, like it doesn't actually make a difference where you spend your days or how you spend your days. It matters who you choose to be each day. Even when our life is not so glamorous and we simply just need to like put food on the table and a roof over our heads, like making rent in Vancouver. But I feel like it's like who you choose to be. Like our purpose is to spread kindness and heal the world by healing ourselves and dissolving our blocks and barriers to love. So our purpose is to transcend that illusion that we are separate and start taking that responsibility for our lives. And our purpose is to embody love and to radiate that love always, always. And like my advice, I guess, would be stop seeking your purpose and be your purpose.
Like, I love that.
Just stop seeking love and be love. And remember, like, yeah, it's like life is not about what's happening to us. Like there's so many different, everyone's so different. And someone that tells you like, this is how to live your best life, like don't listen to them. It's like, it's about who we choose to be in the space of what happens to us, like embodying our most capable self. And if your job is not that glamorous, you can still feel like you have a sense of purpose. You can still have passion and dreams. And like you said, like stepping into our fullest expression is, it could be the least glamorous job, whatever is the least glamorous job you could think of. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed to be working this job because everybody else is like traveling the world, living their best lives, like being all these creative, whatever embodiments. And you could just change somebody's day by the way that you interact with them at work. And that could be your gift. Like it's just embodying that love and embodying that sense of purpose. And that could be an incredible gift to the world, is changing the people you're around every single day by just your energy and your light. So I feel like, what did I even say? I feel like I think it's about changing your perspective of what that all means to you. Like changing the perspective and taking the pressure off of having it be an actual job or an actual like recipe for your life, and see it as being a choice every day, every moment, to just like step into your most capable, your truest self, I guess.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for this amazing chat, Jenny. I really appreciate connecting with you, and I think that people are going to find this super valuable. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Riley.
Thank you so much for listening. From the bottom of my heart, I'm so grateful for your support, and I really hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Jenny. I've linked all of her information below so you can find her on Instagram and check out her offerings she has coming up. In the meantime, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day and week, and we will chat next week.